In a London studio, perfumed with roses and lilac, a fateful triangle forms between three men: Basil Hallward, a talented painter, Lord Henry Wotton, a dangerously charming aristocrat, and Dorian Gray, a young man of extraordinary beauty. As Basil completes what he considers his masterpiece, a portrait of Dorian, Lord Henry begins his philosophical seduction, warning Dorian that youth and beauty are fleeting treasures. Staring at his own beautiful image, Dorian makes a wish that will alter his destiny. If it were I who was to be always young, and the picture that was to grow old, for that, I would give my soul for that. The seemingly innocent exclamation becomes a supernatural contract. While Dorian will remain forever youthful, the portrait will bear the burden of his sins and aging. This bargain, beauty without moral consequence, sets the stage for a descent into depravity that feels startlingly relevant in our image-obsessed culture. What price are we willing to pay for eternal youth? When we separate appearance from character, what becomes of our souls? Dorian's first significant cruelty emerges with Sybil Vane, a talented East End Shakespearean actress. To him, she's not a person, but an artistic object, all the great heroines of the world in one. When he brings Lord Henry and Basil to see her perform, disaster strikes. Overwhelmed by genuine love for Dorian, Sybil can no longer immerse herself in fictional characters, delivering a wooden performance that humiliates him. Dorian responds brutally, "Without your art, you are nothing." The next day brings news of Sybil's suicide by poison. His initial horror quickly shifts to aesthetic detachment, viewing her death as a wonderful ending to a wonderful play. More disturbing is his discovery that his portrait has changed, developing a cruel twist around the mouth. This episode reveals Dorian's inability to see others as real people rather than reflections of his refined tastes. When someone fails his standards, precisely because of genuine feelings, they become worthless to him, disposable as a broken prop. Lord Henry gives Dorian a mysterious French novel bound in yellow paper, clearly Huysmans' Against Nature, the infamous Bible of decadence. The book becomes Dorian's personal gospel, describing a Parisian devoted to collecting exotic experiences. Dorian sees in this character a prefiguring type of himself. Under this influence, Dorian develops elaborate aesthetic obsessions, studying perfumes, collecting exotic instruments, and becoming fascinated with ecclesiastical vestments and jewels. Corruption occurs through beauty rather than ugliness, as each exquisite object pulls him further from human connection and ethical consideration. The Yellow Book represents art's dangerous power to shape consciousness. When Dorian later accuses Lord Henry of giving him this poisonous book, Henry replies, "Art has no influence upon action. It annihilates the desire to act. It is superbly sterile." This is the novel's great irony. Art claiming separation from morality ultimately has profound moral consequences. How often do we consume beautiful things without considering their effect on our values? Beauty divorced from goodness becomes merely decorative and ultimately destructive. After Sybil's death, Dorian grows paranoid about his portrait. He moves it from his bright studio to an abandoned schoolroom at the top of his house, a room his grandfather built to keep the young Dorian hidden. Before locking it away, he examines it once more, horrified by something in its expression that filled him with disgust and loathing. This secret room becomes the physical manifestation of Dorian's conscience, a space he both fears and feels compelled to visit. While his public life continues in beauty and charm, this hidden chamber contains the truth of his moral decay. The portrait grows increasingly hideous with each sin, developing lines of cruelty round the mouth and eventually a loathsome red dew on the hands after his murder. The concept captures how people compartmentalize to commit terrible acts while maintaining a positive self-image. Don't we all have versions of this secret room? Places where we hide parts of ourselves we don't want others, or even ourselves, to see? The portrait represents the truth that we cannot indefinitely separate our actions from our sense of self. Dorian lives in two worlds. In London society, he remains eternally youthful, hosting elegant gatherings and displaying refined art collections. Women adore him, men seek his friendship, and his aesthetic judgments are highly valued. Yet whispers circulate about his darker life, opium dens, criminal connections, and the mysterious downfall of his companions. Those influenced by him meet tragic ends, a guards officer's suicide, Sir Henry Ashton's disgraceful exile, Adrian Singleton's opium addiction. Most unsettling is Dorian's unchanging beauty amid moral decay. His face shows no trace of debauchery, no lines of dissipation or marks of sin. This disconnect disturbs even those unaware of his secret. Men who talked grossly became silent when Dorian Gray entered the room. There was something in the purity of his face that rebuked them. Wilde never explicitly details Dorian's crimes, relying on suggestion. This approach makes the corruption more disturbing by engaging our imagination. Without seeing his sins reflected in his appearance, Dorian loses all moral restraint. In our era of filters and curated social media, aren't we all creating versions of ourselves untouched by our actual lives? 18 years later, Basil confronts Dorian about disturbing rumors surrounding his influence on young men, pleading for him to maintain a clean name and a fair record. This triggers something primal in Dorian. He leads Basil to see the corrupted portrait, then in uncontrollable hatred, stabs the painter to death while watching with detachment. Despite seeming immune to consequences, Dorian cannot escape his conscience. Terror and paranoia drive him to opium dens to cure the soul by means of the senses, yet he finds no peace as the portrait grows more hideous with each sin. In the final scene, Dorian wonders if a recent good deed improved the portrait. Taking the same knife he used on Basil, he stabs the canvas. A terrible cry echoes through the house. When servants enter, they find the portrait restored to its original beauty, while on the floor lies an old, withered man, recognizable as their master only by his rings. The picture of Dorian Gray speaks directly to our image-obsessed culture, warning against valuing appearance over character in a world of Instagram filters and cosmetic procedures. Dorian's tragedy stems from his attempt to separate beauty from goodness, appearance from reality, and pleasure from consequence. The novel critiques how privilege enables corruption. Dorian's wealth, beauty, and social position shield him from accountability, a commentary that remains relevant when celebrity and wealth still often protect the powerful. The story also implicates art in moral corruption. The portrait becomes Dorian's downfall mechanism, the yellow book poisons his mind, and Sybil's theatrical talents create illusions rather than genuine connections. In attempting to destroy his conscience, Dorian ultimately destroys himself, reminding us that we cannot indefinitely escape the moral consequences of our choices.